Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
And happy Friday to everyone. Welcome to Mark the Rabbit Hole. Today our guest will be Lisa Marie Jenkins, author of Wake Up Beauty, It's Not About the Prince, and you can find that on Amazon. Has a overall 5-star rating, very impressive. And you may have heard Lisa on our Tuesday show, Lunchtime Wisdom, back in February. You can search that under Lunchtime Wisdom, February 17th, 2015. If you care to go back and listen to that episode also. So we will be bringing her on in just a couple minutes here. A few events coming up here. We will have the Gathering of 1,000 Drummers the last Sunday of July, the 26th, and that will be at Whetstone Park. Trying to get as many drummers as possible out there on that day. It'll be from noon till 6 p.m. roughly. And also we will have a drum circle at Garcia's tomorrow, Saturday night, at 9 p.m. So just a few quick astrological notes here before we bring our guest on. A lot of intense energy and kind of a lot of fearful energy out there I'm seeing and feeling from others. Saturn has retrograded back into Scorpio and will be there until early December when it enters Sagittarius for the next 2.5 years, roughly. We also have Mercury and Mars square to the nodes. So this is accelerating our mental processes. And also Mars being our energy and our drive. I think we're kind of seeing a lot of frustration and irritability out of people out there right now. So just remember, everybody needs space sometimes, and we are creating a new reality at this point. I'm sure everyone has felt all the massive energetic shifts we've had this year. There is a big move towards the Virgo Earth energy that will be coming in here shortly, August 11th. Jupiter enters Virgo for a year, and in November, the North Node will enter Virgo, and as we get closer to this energy, I'll be talking more and more about this. The people born pretty much throughout the 1960s, but specifically, if you were born in the 65 to 67 era, you will have a very powerful configuration happening in your chart, which this will be one of those once in a lifetime deals. So as we get closer to that, I will I'll have a blog up, and I'll be speaking at the Universal Life Expo in September. I believe that's the 19th and 20th, or that could be the 20th and 21st, actually, the Saturday and Sunday. So I'll be giving a presentation on that, and I'll be talking about that on here as well. So just a little, I'm just going to give you a little astrological heads up. The 15th is this coming Wednesday, and there is a very, very powerful lineup happening that day. We have a new moon at 10:18. Oops, I'm sorry. At 9:24 p.m. This Wednesday evening, at 10:08 in the morning. So about 12 hours earlier on the 15th, we have a Mars-Pluto opposition. So I guess my message is get in touch with what you're angry about beforehand. There could be some very powerful and explosive energy. Actually, on Tuesday leading up through Wednesday. So pick your battles wisely, and any kind of negative energy clearing you can do before then is probably a good idea. And I may go over, depending how long we run today, I may go over a little bit more of that in detail at the end of the show. But our guest is on the line right now. So I want to bring on Lisa Marie Jenkins. She's the author of Wake Up Beauty, It's Not About the Prince. You can find her at www.lisamariejenkins.com. She's a multi-time winner of the President's Club Award, and actually gave a big lecture this week, I believe, on Tuesday, and we will let her tell us a little bit about that. So I want to bring on our guest, Lisa Marie Jenkins. Good morning.
Hi, Mark. Good morning. It's afternoon for me. How are you?
Oh, it is afternoon here.
Thanks for having me. Yes, it is on the East Coast. It is lunchtime. So, yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to talk to you.
Oh, I'm glad to talk to you again. We had such, you know, to be honest, I hadn't heard of you at the beginning of this year. And then we had you on with Iggy and some of the others in February. And we had such a, you know, we try to bring different guests on to all of our shows. But it's just awesome when you, somebody you're not really aware of, you bring on and they just, are just like right in step with you, and you just, you know, feel like they're a kindred spirit. So I wanted to have you on my show, maybe talk about some of the more esoteric things, if you will, that we kind of hinted on the Tuesday show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I don't know if you are, but I'm echoing to myself a little bit. Much better. Much better. Thank you so much. So, Dan, you actually got me very eager to learn more about what's going on with me from a astrological perspective. So we'll have to chat on the side about that.
Oh, yes. I would be more than happy to do a chart for you and send you some stuff. Be happy to do that.
Yeah, so where would you like to start today? Do you want to talk about the book? Do you want to talk about what I'm doing? You ask me.
Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then a little bit about your book, and maybe give us some of the highlights of the expo or the presentation you gave this week,
and then we'll go from there. Yeah, and I don't know if there's anything you can do, but I'm echoing back to myself a lot, so it's a little it's a little difficult to talk, but if there's anything you can do to tweak that, that'd be awesome. But otherwise, I'll do my best to ignore it. So, yeah, so speaking of astrological charts, something's happening for me. So since in the last, this summer, I am booked with big conferences. I just spoke at the Marriott Women's Conference in Dallas, Texas, and spoke a lot about courage, about the call for the divine feminine, if you will. I didn't call it divine feminine to them, right? But in essence, that's what it's about. It's about really calling in the feminine to drive our species to the next level of evolution and to rehumanize, you know, more compassion, more empathy, more emotional intelligence, and get out of the pure masculine way we've been driving in the world. And I'll preface disclaimer at that, whenever I use the word feminine and masculine, I'm not talking about women, because we all have a masculine and feminine balance called the yin and the yang. It just so happens that, you know, in our world today, most men don't possess a lot of strong feminine balance. And what I mean by that is compassion, empathy, emotional intelligence, intuition, more collaborative. Because the masculine tends to be more linear, analytical, logical, and competitive. And that's sort of the vibration that our world's been living in for thousands of years now, and it's time to shift that. So I talk a lot about women finding the courage to find their voice, because if you know, that's sort of the, in a nutshell, courage and the fear of taking risk and really speaking out authentically as women is something that we're in the midst of shifting right now. And that fear of speaking up and speaking out for women, you know, that goes back centuries and centuries. I think we still carry it, not just through legacy and conditioning, but we carry it in a cellular memory level, because you think of how many thousands of years women have been enslaved. They've been, you know, mutilated. They've been put in prostitution. They've not had any rights at all. It was never safe to speak up for themselves legally or to protect themselves. I mean, it's only been a few hundred years since women were burned at the stake right here in the U.S., and less than 100 years since women have had the right to vote in the U.S. Yet still in many countries, women are still, you know, at the level of cattle or second-class citizens. So that's what I think this feminist, if you will, I don't even like to use the word feminist because it has an angry connotation to it because of the old 70s. Kind of
right.
Thing, but the feminist movement is, I like to call it the feminista, right? It's because she's about love. She's about sensuality. She's not about being on a defensive posture against men, or it's not about anger at all. It's about love. It's about unity. It's about connection. It's about respect. So that's really even in my, because I spent over 20 years in Fortune 500 high-tech companies, you know, going into corporate audiences is a nice bridge for me, right? Because that's really, you know, those are powerful women that have careers and are making good money, and they're the ones I'm really, because I can bridge to them, right, to what I just shared with you on the phone right now, to where the world is and where they are. Because I think there's a lot of women that know they want to play bigger in life, but they're not sure organically where that's coming from or why it's so important. So, yeah, and I've got a big week coming up. I'm speaking at the Microsoft World Partner Conference, and I'm doing a visionary breakout for women there, and also talking about gender and generational diversity in the workplace and why it's, you know, a 21st century just imperative that that happens. And then I'm going to Marriott again and speaking at another Marriott conference. So lots of big things happening for me all of a sudden this summer.
Fantastic. Is the audio any better on your end?
Yes, it's much better. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Just wanted to make sure you're good there. So, I mean, for people that aren't as familiar with your material, maybe, although I've had several of my friends comment that they've read your book this week and really loved it, it's all about, like, kind of stepping out of the box we're programmed to be in, and, you know, like, we kind of talked a couple months ago, and it's like we're always sold that, you know, we have to go through a middleman, or, you know, wait for someone to save us, or, and it kind of puts us in a very passive mental and, you know, maybe even emotional state. And so how did you kind of start stepping out of we'll just call it conditioned responses that we're taught.
unconscious conditioned response. So, and you know, the Prince Charming doesn't, it can relate to just women and how women feel about finding their Prince Charming. And that's what, you know, my book is written a bit towards a woman, but I've had several men read it and said they certainly, you know, got a lot out of it, and they felt it could be written to anybody, because we can all struggle with some of the things that I talk about in the book itself. But the point of Prince Charming is that we're always looking for something outside of ourselves to light that fire, to find our passion, to fulfill us, to allow us to feel whole, if you will. It's, you know, I like to call it the God hole. We're always looking for something outside of us to fulfill that God hole. And I have a saying that I used in yoga, and I actually have it painted on my wall in my bedroom, and it's Om Mani Padme Om. It means that it's an ancient Tibetan mantra that translates loosely into that which you seek is within. And so, and women especially can be very caught up in that their holy grail is found when they find romantic love and they find their Prince Charming. And so people can spend their whole lives just going from relationship to relationship. And I definitely was one of those women. And, you know, it brought me so much suffering, though, that I eventually started in traditional therapy, and it led to a really deep spiritual path for me. And it was a 15-year journey of a lot of dysfunctional relationships that I allowed to cause me so much suffering that before I really healed that and realized that I'm good enough and I'm whole with or without a man, and you can apply that to anything. You know, men can apply that to women. We can apply it to the financial success we're looking for. Whatever it is that you think your happiness is out there, right, and it's something that there's a magic bullet out there for you somewhere, that's really what it's about. And it's so my book is sort of a deep journey inward so that you can learn to live really powerfully from your authentic self outward. And the book for me came from, and initially when I had got the idea a few years ago to write a book, if I could share my greatest aha moments and my learning through that 15 years of suffering that I said, if I can share that with one woman and allow her journey to be smoother and more quickly, then that would be my gift to the world. And then as I decided to leave corporate and start my own consulting and speaking business and really focused on women and leadership, I realized that it would help me greatly to have a book just for credibility. So I decided to make the book. It's in the category of personal development / success. So it's a little bit of both, right? And which is exactly what I'm kind of doing, is bridging that intellectual professional world to more personal development and wholeness. Because in big companies, they really harvest the intellect and a lot of hard skill training, financial acumen training, sales training, technical training, et cetera, but very little is addressed around the personal development. And so emotional intelligence and personal development, I mean, we're a whole being. You can't just address the left hemisphere of the brain. You have to address the whole person, because a whole happy person makes a more successful, happier, more creative employee at any job. So that's kind of, if I had to say, that's my little niche, is bridging, you know, over to mindfulness and personal development into the corporate world, which they are so desperately need.
Yeah, totally agree there. Yeah, I have to... I'm very lyrical minded, so something you said brought up some song lyrics to me. But one of my favorite U2 songs is back from the 90s, not to date myself. It says, "Looking for to save my soul, looking into places where no flowers grow, looking for to fill that God-shaped hole."
Yeah, yeah.
And that line has always resonated with me, because we're always trying to fill in that. Mm-hmm. You know, fill in that hole.
It's a bottomless pit, right?
Yes.
It's insatiable when you're trying to fill it from the outside. And I have a whole chapter dedicated to self-compassion, because I think we have self-esteem confused, as, you know, in Western culture especially, we talk so much about self-esteem, but self-esteem is so based on external achievement to be okay with yourself. And when in essence, it's about our own it's our own self-dialogue. It's our own compassion towards ourselves. It's learning to be loving and kind and gentle and supportive and encouraging to ourselves, and learning to treat ourselves in the most loving way as we would want to treat a child, or we do treat children, our own children, or a partner, if you will, a romantic partner. We need to turn that around to ourselves, because most of us, when we're unconscious, we can talk to ourselves in a way that is so ugly. We wouldn't even talk that way to somebody we didn't like. And so it's learning to self. So I say, you know, self-compassion is kind of the new black in personal development. So right. Learning self-compassion over self-esteem. Because when you're okay with you, it doesn't matter what's going on outside or what happens or what circumstances are or what you achieve or don't achieve. Because when you're really okay with you, life is great. But when you're constantly dependent on something outside of yourself to give you a feel-good, you're dependent on something you have no control over.
I agree, and I think we've all had similar experiences where we kind of go through cycles in our life where we have these kind of concurrent dysfunctional relationships, whether it's not being valued in a workplace or in our relationship or, you know, living situations or whatnot. And it is, and it's like the way to really, when we get tired of seeing that dysfunction in our relationships, I mean, the first way to fix it, and probably the easiest way, is to go within ourselves and fix whatever dysfunctions we might have inside of us, because we're going to mirror out
exactly.
to the outside world whatever is going on inside of us.
Exactly, and I actually spend quite a bit of in my book, I put a lot of energy into that specifically, because it is so counterintuitive as a human being to go into discomfort. We want to avoid it, we want to push it down, we want to run from it. Anything, you know, and that's what addictions are, why addictions are created, right? Addictions are created because we're trying to avoid the uncomfortable feelings and get away from them. So we want to go, you know, addictions, especially substance abuse type of addiction, it takes you below thought form. So you're trying to run from that discomfort, when in fact, when you just really let go and you give in to those uncomfortable feelings and you allow yourself to move through them, then they pass and they're gone and you heal them. But we spend so much energy fighting them, right, and avoiding it. And when all what we really need to do is let go, sit in it, be uncomfortable, process it, and it dissipates so much more quickly. Because, you know, there's that saying, what we resist persists.
Yes.
So when we keep resist, people spend their whole lives or do whatever they can to resist and avoid the uncomfortable in life. And I say normalize discomfort, because that's how we expand. That's how we grow in life. There's no growth or expansion or healing in life without feeling discomfort. There's just no way. But it's like a great yoga teacher that I took from for years. She used to always say in yoga poses, and you know yoga is very metaphoric for life. The whole idea is to take, you know, what you learn and experience and that bliss you learn on the mat and take it into your life and keep that equanimity with you. And whenever we were in a really difficult pose and holding it for a while, she goes, yeah, I know it's uncomfortable. She's like, so what? It's just an experience. It'll pass. And that's what we need to start saying to ourselves in life more often.
Yeah, agreed. We kind of live in what I call a kind of a Band-Aid society, where we don't really like to look at the deeper, I'll call them Plutonian truths that lie underneath things. We just try to put a quick Band-Aid fix on everything and go on without really dealing with the without dealing with the main problem. You know, we have a cold and we sneeze, so we take something to stop the sneezing, but we don't fix the cold.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. I can't remember the percent now of Americans on, you know, antidepressants. What does that tell you? I think it's something like 75% of Americans have been on an antidepressant at some point, and 50% of kids, by the time they are out of high school, 50% of kids have been on some sort of med.
Right.
You know, some sort of ADD, ADHD med. Right? It's crazy. It's you know, so people are trying to numb out to their feelings, which basically just keeps them stuck because they're numb enough that it's not uncomfortable to make any changes or do anything. And so it leaves you sort of just emotionally stagnant. It's very sad, but you're right. But there's the fix, right? There's the quick fix. Just make these feelings go away.
Yes, I completely agree. And instead of, you know, giving, you know, I think a lot of the ADD stuff comes from, as we've kind of dumbed down our educational system, I think the kids, I mean, if you've talked, you know, the kids nowadays are just, they're just smart. They get energetic.
They're bored. Most of them are bored. And we, I mean, if you look at our education system, it hasn't changed since the industrial age, right? The K through 12 system was purely created when we moved into the industrial age and suddenly had all these, you know, there was no longer the one-room schoolhouse could work. And so they literally took the amount of information that was available to children and divided it into years of the K through 12. That's where it came from. But we don't have this just finite amount of information we can teach kids anymore, so it doesn't make any sense, right? And so you're right. We're getting a lot of really highly evolved souls coming into the world. And you know, I have a belief around, you know, autism especially. I think a lot of the autistic children are just highly, highly sensitive, evolved souls that are coming into this planet to make changes. And they're just having such a hard time. The vibration is so dense on our planet, and they're having such a hard time adapting into that vibration and learning how to cope. And it takes several years for them to do that. So, you know, their way of coping is to kind of shut out a little bit. That's kind of my belief, and I've worked for some really, really amazing autism consultants that I learned this from that have made huge strides with these autistic children, because they work with them not as it's a problem, but work with them at a different level. So, yeah, I think it's our education system is in very bad shape for sure. We need to really make that more progressive, and so that people that learn differently can be successful in school and enjoy it, actually.
I totally agree. And that's a brilliant point you brought up about our education system with the grades has been, it's been that way for, you know, 100 years at least. And mm-hmm. So it's like we have all these souls that are very bright coming onto the planet here, and it's almost like it's a purposeful dysfunction being created for them.
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, my kids are 21 and 24 now, and my daughter happened to be someone that, you know, she did okay, and that she was bored somewhat in the education system, but she happens to fit the way she learns. She can learn from an auditory, you know, she's very good at learning auditory, so sitting in a classroom lecture type of environment. So she's great with language, and she's great with foreign languages. She's great with reading and writing. And then I have a son who's 21, but his IQ is actually higher than my daughter's, but he is an experiential learner. He's a hands-on learner, and for him to try and learn from an auditory sitting in a classroom was just difficult and painful for him. And it certainly wasn't inability. It was just not honoring that we're not all, our brains don't all work exactly the same. And he struggled through school, you know, struggled.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who consider themselves as indigos, and they seem to be having a lot of, a lot of them are having a lot of frustration right now trying to figure how to, I should expand that. I think everyone's having problems right now with how do you keep your soul in the corporate or, you know, 3D reality. How do we keep our spiritual side and, you know, pay bills and go to work and buy groceries and take care of people? And
mm-hmm.
It's a difficult balance.
And the millennials are really going to change it, right? They're really shaking it up, because in 5 years, millennials will be, you know, from a legal, you know, an adult age, they're 18 to 34 right now. And they're going to be 50% of our workforce in 5 years, and they're going to be 75% of our workforce in 10 years. And they think and feel and see things very differently. They're all about making impact. They're all about transparency. They're all about sustainability. They're all about, I want to know the why behind this. And they're all about collaborating, and I want this to happen fast, and I want it to be flexible. And so these old conventional systems, if they do not change, they won't be able to attract these millennials to their workforce, and they will end up suffering and going out of business, right? If they're not changing the way, because that old conventional traditional hierarchy and you know, authoritative type of business is, they're not going to attract millennials. They're bringing about great change, and I love it. I mean, they'll actually work for more money if they believe they're making an impact in the world.
I agree, and I've seen and heard a lot of frustration from people in our age group about the younger kids don't have the work ethic and stuff like that. And on one level, that's true, but on one level also, it's, they see how corrupt and how bad our systems are. So, you know, our parents or grandparents grew up during the, you know,
the Depression.
At least our
yeah.
grandparents were during the Great Depression. And so there's still a little bit of that mindset passed down to us.
Sure.
I know a lot of the people in our age group kind of had our spiritual awakening, is an overused term that I'm getting tired of, but I can't think of a better one that off the top of my head.
I gotcha. Yeah, people are just waking up, period, right? People are just starting to wake up. But Mark, here's the deal. Every 20 years, we go through a major generational shift in how people think and do things and feel. I mean, we did it. We went, you know, the boomers didn't like the Gen Xers, right? And now we're having trouble with the millennials. But that has gone on every 20 years for centuries, where the next generation is very different because of how life formed when they were growing up and what was happening and how people were parenting or whatever. So, you know, you got to take some of it is just judgment, right? Some of it's just pure judgment. And yes, they are different. They are the bit of the me, you know, they're the generation that grew up where every kid gets a trophy on the baseball team kind of thing, right? I mean, they've also, most of them have grown up in single family homes, and they were born with technology in their hand. They're used to living virtually. They don't see this distinct change, dividing line between work and play, right? It's all one. Life is life to them, and which is actually really good, I think. So whether you like it or not, they're coming. So find a way to accept it. And thank God we're moving away from this authoritative expert type of learning and managing people, and that's about control, and that's about censorship. And you know, one of the things I really wanted to do in my book, because you know, there's so many self-help books out there, and people write them often from, you know, an expert, you know, and a theory, or but they don't. And so in my book, what I did that's really different is I'm very vulnerable in sharing my experiences, like my authentic, vulnerable, you know, down in the gutter type of feelings and experiences, and because I know that when people read that, they can connect. It's like now you're not just giving me something in a theory or as an expert. You're giving me something as like, oh, you're a human being, and I can connect to you and relate to you. I've felt the same thing. So that's what we have to get to, is because people relate to people. And when we hear us, and you only need to be two steps ahead of somebody to help them along their path. Right, you don't have to be some big, great, you know, academic expert on anything, right?
Right. Yeah, because I run across that a lot too. Because I'm sure you've run across the phrase that ascension symptoms or Kundalini rising, and some of these other things. And you know, there's a lot of frustration with people kind of experiencing these things too. And it's like, I found that it's like, it's not a step one, step two, step three. It's kind of, you know, like different pieces of the pie, and there's no like logical order that they go to or anything.
Exactly.
So, right.
Exactly. And you see so many spiritual teachings, right, that get so, they just become egoic because they get locked in the structure. They get locked in, this is the way, this is the only way, you have to follow it this way. And here's my philosophy and my advice for anybody. I don't care if you're talking about a counselor, a therapist, a mentor, a life coach, a spiritual teacher, if they are not just there to hold space for you and help you inquire within to find your own answers and your own wisdom, then they're not really doing you a service. Right? When anybody's giving you advice on this is what you need to do and how to do it and when to do it, et cetera, and here are the rules around it, then they're not supporting you, because we all have an innate wisdom that is unique to us. We have our own knowing inside, but we haven't been taught how to tune into that and how to listen to it and how to really follow our own inner wisdom. And so that's what a true teacher or coach or therapist really does, is help you with self-inquiry, so you really learn to tune into your own knowing, your own intuition, and to trust your intuition as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I try to I try to be careful that I don't sound like I'm on a soapbox sometimes. It probably comes across that way, but I try to stress that it's like I'm not any smarter than anybody else out there that's listening. It's just that maybe I'm a little bit weird. So I've maybe take different roads or take, you know, I live on the path less traveled. That's been my whole life, and that's where I'm most comfortable. So I've just experienced or gone through some different things that maybe other people haven't. So it's not that I'm any smarter than anybody else. I've traveled different roads, and I try to share some of the things I've picked up along those roads.
We've been living in a world where 95% of people are completely asleep. They're living on the surface of life. They're not going anything below their job, their money, their house, their car, their social life, right? There's nothing, they're staying on the surface, and that's not very fulfilling or rewarding or deeply connected or loving, but I think that's where, too, the millennials are going to start really shifting that. And I think it's cool. I think there's just exciting things happening on the planet right now.
I agree, and that's kind of amazing you brought that up, because in my I have a monthly astrology class I teach here, and a couple months ago when we were really had a lot of these heavy transits going on from February 20th to April 20th, I was telling people that, you know, the children that are being born right now, mm-hmm. this generation is really, because they're going to be born with these Pluto-Uranus squares and Pluto square the nodes and Mars square the nodes. They are not going to tolerate the nonsense that that some of our generation has tolerated for a long time. They are absolutely going to shake up society and change things for the better.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Big shifts happening. It's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to take a 30-second break here, and we'll come right back and jump on to some other topics here with our guest, Lisa Marie Jenkins.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
And we are back with our guest, Lisa Marie Jenkins, and you keep saying things today that are really resonating with me, so I have to throw another quote out here that popped into my head you were saying a minute ago. This is from Timothy Leary, How to Operate Your Brain, and fans of the band Tool may be familiar with this. Throughout human history, as our species has faced the frightening, terrorizing fact that we do not know who we are or where we are going in this ocean of chaos, it has been the authorities, the political, the religious, the educational authorities, who attempted to comfort us by giving us order, rules, regulations, informing in our minds their view of reality. To think for yourself, you must question authority and learn how to put yourself in a state of vulnerable, open-mindedness, chaotic, confused vulnerability to inform yourself. And so I think that kind of played into what we were talking about a minute ago, about you've got to kind of let yourself be to really heal and fix things, and that, you know, step out of the box. You've got to allow yourself to be uncomfortable a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, absolutely.
To really get deep into the, you know, we were talking about Band-Aids and stuff. It's like we're taught not to really heal those deep inner wounds, and then we just end up with these repeating psychological cycles, or these tapes that we run in our head over and over again, and wonder why we end up in the same situations over and over again.
Exactly.
So, go ahead.
If you don't change anything, how do you expect anything to be, right? The definition of sanity, if you do the same thing over and over, how can you expect anything to be different?
Exactly. So the first time I had you on, before I get to that, something else that's been a little that's caught my attention recently is I kind of see, like on Facebook and other social media and stuff, I kind of see a lot of these, there's a lot of New Age posts, some of which I like and subscribe to, but there's others that I kind of see a lot of stuff like the aliens are going to come save us, or some beings from some other world are going to come save us and bail us out of all this stuff. And I've become very leery of a lot of this information I see. You know, it's just really easy to just like share stuff on Facebook and stuff. And I've become very leery of a lot of this, a lot of the posts I see, because it's kind of giving your power, it's kind of teaching you to give your power away, that it's something, you know, you have the power to make any change that you want, just sitting waiting for something or someone else to come in that's going to bail us out. It's kind of the same mindset as the, you know, you have to have your pastor talk to God for you, or you have to have the lawyer in the court.
It's putting too much emphasis that the answer is outside again, right?
Exactly.
And so, and we could go, I mean, I'm always just amazed when people think that we are the only species in the galaxy, right? Like,
right.
How could we be the only type of intelligent life form? But, you know, I love all of that stuff, and I do think that there's beings way more advanced than us, and that there are good ones and bad ones probably, and there are some that are trying to aid us and assist us along the way. But hence the word aid us, assist us, not
agreed.
they're not gonna save us.
Right. I mean, my point, why would we incarnate and come back into this 3D reality to experience and learn things just to be here to have somebody else come save us? It kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we could talk. I could talk all day about that stuff. I love that stuff. So, but yeah, it's the same thing. It's, you know, and I think something that was a big, I don't know, I don't want to call it disappointment, but is anybody that was into spiritual things and spiritual teachers and some of the, like some of the same things I did, read the same books, let's just put it even there, they read the same books that I read, or they're big yogis, right, really deep into their yoga practice, and I would have this expectation that they were more evolved. And what I realize is then, you know, spiritual teachings can be a trap too for people. Then they get locked in the ego of that.
Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah, because it is. It can be very. And it
it's another
be,
way to be right.
Right. Yeah, because I get, and I'll tell you, I'll just be completely honest with you. Astrologers are one of the worst groups at this. Man, I'm in some astrology groups on like Facebook and stuff, and the arguments that go on in there, I mean, they're just childish. I'll just be honest.
Yeah, so it's like like academia people do that, right?
Yes. Right, and I know exactly what you're saying. It's a little bit disappointing because you kind of hope that if people really have a spiritual mindset, that they're going to understand that there are different paths to enlightenment, different paths to truth, different, you know, paths to knowledge. And so to judge or perceive that everyone else's is wrong is kind of the same mentality why we've had, you know, what our country's been at war for 85% of the years it's been in existence. I mean, it's kind of the same.
Right, because the bottom line is it's acceptance, period. Acceptance. And accepting anybody for where they are and what they believe and at what level they're at. You know, you can't rush any soul's journey, and everybody is at a different place and a different plane and a different level of consciousness. And that's about just non-judgment and acceptance, right? That's the truth of spiritual teaching. Accepting anybody for where they are and seeing the truth of who they are beyond their physical actions and beliefs and so forth.
Agreed. Yeah, because it's some of the arguments I just see in the metaphysical or spiritual community, it gets disheartening at times. But however, I look at it too as, you know, as a message. It's like people kind of showing their real face, we'll say, taking their mask off. So it kind of lets you know which ones, you know, really are spiritually centered, we'll say, and which ones are not. So we had, back in February, we kind of started talking about the Matrix and some of the David Icke material and stuff. Without taking you too far down the rabbit hole.
That's a big rabbit hole.
Yes.
We might find Alice in Wonderland in that rabbit hole.
Yeah. That was a great post you put on your wall. I shared that on mine this morning.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to try to form this in a... I haven't been able to form this in a good question. How do you see is some good tips or the best way to kind of interact with the Matrix without being entrapped or subservient to it? I can try and rephrase that.
Yeah, try one more time. I think I know where you're going, but I want to be sure. Are you asking me, it exists, right? Or it's being created, and...
Yeah.
And you can't ignore that it's not happening. So how do you, you know, without being an adversity to it, right, of literally fighting it, how do you coexist and stay out of it, so to speak?
Right. Yeah, it's like you have to kind of, I found you have to be aware of it and understand that, because I've told people, it's like without the Matrix that exists, you know, like astrology wouldn't work because there are certain conditionings and patterns and a certain width of results that you see with different transits and astrological alignments and stuff. But like, how do you...
Well, I think it comes down to becoming more mindful about managing your own energy and what energy you put yourself in, subject yourself to, whether you protect yourself from it. And so I'll just give you an example. So for me, like even when I go into an airport, I do a little ground and bubble thing, right? Because in airports and airplanes, you're surrounded by massive people,
yes,
massive energies, right? And if you're a sensitive person in at any level, right, which I am, I'm highly intuitive. And
yes,
I have to remember to, I do a little thing that I learned in my coaching course with Martha Beck, and she's very spiritual, very woo-woo, and she's an amazing woman, but she calls it ground and bubble. So I literally see myself, like my feet rooting into the core of the earth, and I see this transparent bubble kind of surrounding me that only love can penetrate, right? And that, and there's little things that you really, I mean, that might sound crazy, but you have to. I know for me, like I'm going to this Microsoft World Partner Conference next week, and there's 14,000 people there from around the world That is that's an exhausting energy space for anybody to be in, right? To just be in that massive amount of, people that live in New York City, people that are highly spiritual that live in New York City, they have to up their spiritual practices and their meditation to, to live in that vibration, so to speak, right? So I think it's that. It's noticing when you're around energy and how to mind your own and make sure you're also giving out positive, loving energy to the world in that environment. I literally, this may sound funny to some, but when I walk onto a plane, and I'm never in first class, so, I have to walk usually quite a bit down the aisle, I make a point to exude love to people as I'm passing them. Right? And that's just my little way of doing things. But I think it's noticing, right? So I have to take really care of myself. When I leave Orlando after that Microsoft conference, I'll need to do some yoga, I'll need to do a massage, I'll need to take a bath. So you just notice, what energy drains you, and take care of yourself. What energy brings you up and makes you feel more alive and lighter? But I think the other thing is I don't want my, have you heard of the movie Thrive? Have you ever seen Thrive?
I have not seen all of it. I've seen snippets. That is very much... down the rabbit hole that I live.
I've watched the movie 3 times, and I love to watch it with somebody because it's the kind of movie you want to pause and you want to talk about it. But what I love about the very end of the movie is he gives all, in every aspect, every category, he gives ways to help, how you can start shifting. And just the first thing that comes to my mind is he's like, don't bank with big banks. He goes, don't bank with Bank of America, Wells Fargo, et cetera. He goes, that's corrupt stuff, right? And that's about power and control, and they're owning the government. He's like, bank locally. Right? Buy your fruits and vegetables locally. This is all the things you can do to get out of that big matrix of the corporate structures that own and have the power to control us. And because he who owns the food supply and water controls the world. And that's, when you look at things that like Monsanto, and, I buy organic whenever I can. And if I can't buy it organic, I usually don't get it. So things like that, right? Just being, making people aware. I'm shocked how many educated human beings still, the things that they feed their children, right? The things that come in a box that have artificial colors in them, and, it's some big, huge conglomerate, right? And that's not food. What do you put in your child's body? So I think all those things matter. We're really down a rabbit hole now, Mark.
Yes. Oh, I am completely in agreement with you on all those points. Yeah, because I'll get further out there with you than you. You absolutely. I have so many people coming to me now saying they have entities or attachments or things. I have people coming to me saying that they feel like they're possessed for short periods of time, and that the energy that's out there is the point of being alive right now is we are clearing off all of, as much of our old karma and baggage as we can, and that's been the story of the astrological energy for the first half of this year, is clearing and removing attachments, old baggage, old ways of thinking, things that don't work anymore. There's a new world being born. And so we're having...
And as we open, it can be very easy for the negative energies to attach to us, right?
Yeah.
And I get that, and I'm totally aware of that, and I work with somebody regularly with that stuff, believe it or not, and they're doing amazing work. It's called bluesunenergetics.net, if you want to check them out, Dave and Arena Cohen. Blue Sun Energetics. But, it's and what they do is minefield repatterning. But, and they'll run biofeedback on me remotely. And, sometimes I've felt that same experience too, but they clear it for you. They clear it and release the energy patterns because we're just energy. Everything's just energy at some, at some level of vibration. And we're all just from stardust. So, and with the transitions that are happening on our planet, and the solar flares and...
Yes, the solar flares have been crazy, but it's, I mean, you made a great point. It's very important to almost continuously have to clear your energy right now, because there's so much. It's like everyone's taking out their karmic trash right now, and you know, sometimes people don't recycle properly or don't tie up their trash bags. Then that stuff can kind of just blow all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So just like sometimes we'll see trash on the street. I think it works that way, where people just kind of cast off that stuff and it just kind of goes somewhere else if they don't do it properly. And so there's all kind of crazy stuff floating around out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're totally right. I mean, I know a lot of people. I've kind of been into the conspiracy stuff since 95, and there's a lot of people that are into it and are still, they get really frustrated or fearful, and it's like, another great point you'd made is, people say, how do you change it? How do you fix stuff? And it's like, don't vote for the two big parties. Don't take the credit card offer from the big banks. You're totally right. You don't. If you feed anger back in, that's what the beast feeds off of. It's anger and fear and hatred.
Exactly. So not being opposed to it, right?
Yes.
You can't. You're doing the same thing. If I'm a big radical and opposing Monsanto, right? Like,
right.
And I'm doing all the things that oppose them, and I'm angry, and I'm and I'm a part of the what do you call it when they not picket? What's the word when they when they do walks and stuff, walks against Monsanto, or you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So again, you're just that's me being against something. That's negative energy. I'm just putting negative. You're creating a force again, as opposed to you just don't play there, and
yes.
you educate other people that aren't even aware of who. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, where Monsanto is based, and I go back, once a year or so and visit friends and family, and it's right there in their backyard. And do you know most people in St. Louis have no idea about GMO and what Monsanto is doing with the soybean and the corn crops and soon wheat, and they don't even understand it. They have no clue.
I totally believe. Hey, we have to read other countries' newspapers to find out what's going on here. To be honest with you,
that's kind of the
microcosm of.
But it's a huge part of their if St. Louis doesn't have many corporations left anymore, that's one of their major corporations headquartered there, and so for them that's about financial stability to have that size company there, and so people overlook it. It's just, but I think it's like you said, one of my favorite teachers and authors is Adi Ashanti. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but that's what he's about, is you don't oppose it. You don't fight what's wrong or you just don't play there, and you just don't give it energy, and you do what you need to do to grow the opposite.
Right. Yeah, I think there's an old Native American saying, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher this, but it's we all have two wolves living inside of us. We have a good and the evil, or light and the dark, and it's like, which one do you feed? The one that is going to grow and come out is the one that you feed. So even, if
exactly.
you go out there, I hate my
yeah.
family.
We don't need more opposition in the world.
Right,
We don't need more opposition of the negative forces. That's just more negativity then. We're feeding it, like you said. You're just feeding the wolf. So this is the personal side of Lisa, right? This is not the career side, but that's kind of what, because I understand that corporate world so well, this is where I just get to bridge and share with them what's appropriate with them without them thinking I'm a crazy lady, okay? I plant seeds, but I don't talk in the way that you and I are talking, right? I would never share that. I wouldn't even use the word divine feminine in a women's corporate keynote or workshop, right? Because that would scare them away and they'd think I was crazy. But I know that that's underneath, right? And it doesn't matter how it gets in. What matters is that I'm planting the seeds, because they're a huge force that I can start affecting. And, you know, there's enough women in professional and leadership roles today that if I can start planting those seeds in them, I mean, they can contribute directly to make a greatly needed, you know, helping change the world. So,
agreed. That's something else I went into too. You have to kind of translate on some level for the audience, and it's not that
understand your audience, right? You have to understand, and so many people don't know how to do that. And that's probably, if I had to say, if I really had an intelligence in a certain area, I'm really good at articulating and understanding what's appropriate for an audience at any, you know, in any situation. But so that's where I hang my hat.
Right. That's a great lesson. I had to learn that too. I mean, I used to, when I first started teaching my classes 6 years ago, I would just kind of bludgeon people to death with charts and numbers and stuff. And I was like, you know, this isn't working. It's better if I just talk about the general energies and explain that. And then those that are interested give the additional, you know, backup data and, you know, the nerdy math part of it. To people, it just loses people a lot of times.
Yeah, that would lose me.
Yeah,
and it's about it's really about respect, and it's about respecting, you know, where somebody is, somebody is in their journey, and being able to talk at their level. And because if you don't, then you're just getting into the right wrong game again, in judgment.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody's doing the best they can with where they are and what they've experienced in life. So,
exactly. A great message there, too. Because, I mean, now it's easy, and I see this in the metaphysical community, too. It's like sometimes it's easy to get frustrated with people, and it's like, well, you know, maybe this person that you're counseling or giving a reading, maybe they're not ready for that message yet. Maybe they don't have all the data they need to make that next step. So you just have to kind of put the information out there, and then, you know, you're ready to. When you go plant seeds on your garden, you don't have a giant stalk of corn 2 hours later, you know. You plant the seed and then water it as it needs it, and hopefully it grows up to.
You know, people sometimes can be really hard on themselves that they didn't learn something sooner or get a lesson sooner or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the point is that we're ready when we're ready. We get the lesson when we're ready and not a moment sooner.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a big lesson that I've learned last year or two, is that, you know what, nothing ever happens as fast as you'd like it to.
Right. Oh, that's mine too, Mark. That is mine, because I'm a mover and a shaker. I'm a taskmaster. I'm great at just knocking stuff out and getting shit done, right? And so when I encounter people that don't operate like that, I can get really frustrated, and then I put out negative energy. And I'm realized this has been my big lesson the last month, is that I've got to learn to just slow down and trust the process, right?
Yeah. And that's really hard to do sometimes.
Yes, it is. It's called patience, right?
Right.
It's called patience and trust, and that you're not in control. For me, it's a control thing, right? Just patience, trust the universe, and you're not in control here. And when you stop trying to control, things just kind of move right along magically.
Right, and you know, that's been another one of the big lessons of, you know, on the astrological energetic level of this year, is like, it's to be present and be here now. And that's really hard. It's really easy to get caught up worrying about the past, or, oh, how am I gonna, what's my long-term financial situation gonna look at, and this stuff happened to me. And it's like, a lot of this is just to get us centered so that we can manifest and create a better reality and a better world. When we're scattered off worrying about what happened in 1974 and what's going to happen in 2026, You know, we get like kind of fragmented and kind of create these different altars, if you will.
Well, so we create a lot of anxiety for ourselves.
yeah. And so you can't create in the now what you want because you're off everywhere trying to fix everything else that's ever happened and ever will happen.
Yeah, for sure. So I bet you're not surprised to know that I'm a Virgo with a Scorpio rising and my Libra is, what do you call the other one? The moon sign? What do you call it? The moon is the descending?
The descendant is actually where your seventh house starts. It's the opposite of your ascendant. So you're Scorpio ascendant, sun in Virgo, moon in Libra?
Yes.
Sun
in Virgo, my rising is Scorpio, and moon is Libra.
I have similar themes, a little bit different planets, but I have all three of those energies in my chart. I have Libra ascendant, Sun in Pisces, which is the opposite of Virgo, and then Moon in Cancer, which is a water sign, just like Scorpio. But I have lots of Virgo and water in my chart. I have so much water in my chart, I tell people I'm always 30 seconds away from drowning. That's my little joke. Okay, so I kind of promised you I'd keep you close to the hour mark here. And sure you're busy, but any last messages you want to give to people? And I want you to give your website and contact information out again also.
Sure. You can find my email address and my phone number at lisamariejenkins.com. My book's available there if you want a personalized signed copy, or it's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any indie bookseller. I think my advice would be learn to tune in. Learn to find stillness in your life so you can tune into your own wisdom and your own intuition. Because the more you do that and you hear that quiet voice, that's your intuition and your inner wisdom or your knowing, the louder it gets. And that's all you really need in life.
Yes. Very wise statement. It is very easy to get caught up in the opinions and motivations of others, and that kind of comes back to the kind of the energy shield you were talking about.
Yep, we can go within. You are all you need. Go within. You know, and here's my little final nugget is that our souls were born into this world with everything that we needed. Whether we had a good, biological mother, a good biological father, whether we got what we needed from our biological parents or not, even if we had the worst of situations, the soul came into the world with everything it needed to flourish. And, we have to learn to be our own father to ourselves, which is the linear, the analytical, the logical, learning to take action. But we all have the mother within us, which is the intuition, which is the compassion, the empathy, the creativity. And then the child is the joy. So we have to realize we came here with everything we need to thrive, whether we had good birth setups or not. And, I believe we choose our parents to set us up for whatever lessons we need to evolve us to the next level. So remember that you have everything you need, but you have to go within and cultivate it. It's never going to come from outside.
I agree. I completely agree.
Or another person in any way.
I great message. I agree 100%. I agree 100%.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for taking me down the rabbit hole. I don't get to talk this way with very many people, so it was fun.
Good. We'd love to have you back on in the future sometime, and I'd love to go over your chart with you, just given, I don't know if you have a personal astrologer or whatnot that you
I don't.
Go to. I would love to, if you just want to message me, your your birth info. I'd love to go over your chart with you and
yeah,
maybe
we'll do
some things that maybe you haven't run across.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be fun.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And we've got posts for Lisa's website and her book. It's on my Facebook page and in the chat room here. And thank you so much for coming on, Lisa.
Sure. Take care, Mark. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was our fantastic guest, Lisa Marie Jenkins. And two, this show is archived immediately afterwards, and you'll be able to go back and stream that. It should be up in a couple hours. Usually within a couple hours after the show's ended, it is up there on the archives. So I'm just going to go over a couple astrological things here real quick, and then I will let you enjoy your weekend as it is. So there's many things going on astrologically right now. We have a grand trine happening with the Sun in Cancer, Saturn in Scorpio, and Chiron in Pisces. So overall, this is asking us to work on how we heal ourselves and how we help heal others and restructure our life in a way that is conducive to where, you know, to where we feel healed and able to heal others, to where we kind of, you know, we just kind of talked about kind of shutting out some of the exterior noise and things. And this is one of the things that's happening. So also Scorpio has retrograded, Saturn has retrograded back into the late degrees of Scorpio. And as I talked about the last couple years, with Saturn in Scorpio and Pluto in Capricorn, what we are seeing are extremes. So Pluto is the power structures, Capricorn authority figures. Capricorn rules Saturn, of course. And then Saturn and Pluto were actually in mutual reception, where they are in the sign that the other one rules. So this is where we are seeing, you know, more pushes from the government on restricting things. There's lots of laws being passed right now, lots of big decisions and changes being made. Lots of secrets being revealed, lots of power structure, but also money can also be a power structure. So we're seeing, you know, in Greece and in other places, we're seeing lots of battles taking place, lots of big courtroom decisions lately. This is all Pluto, Capricorn, Saturn, Scorpio stuff. Saturn redefining or adjusting the Plutonian power structures. So like I said, too, we have Mercury and Mars square to the nodes right now. This is changing our, there's a big mental shift in things right now. There's a big energetic shift. A lot of people I know are feeling some of the energy lags from the solar flares. It's a reset. It's a readjustment. How do we put our energy out there? How do we operate on an instinctual level? That's what the meaning of Mars square to the nodes are. We also have Uranus, which is in Aries, is forming a trine to Jupiter and Venus in Leo. So this is giving us some exuberance, some energy, excitement, creativity. So this is helping kind of buoy us. We have this ability for change and for creativity right now to help kind of, as things are being torn down and, you know, we see a lot of destructive things happening, this can also, there's that creative energy out there as well that we can use to kind of, it's like as things are being torn down, there is energy to rebuild and restructure things. So we have the, it's not like we're floating lost in the ocean. As things are being torn down, we also have this creativity and this energy to start rebuilding things. And so another thing that's going on is that, you know, the last couple of years we've had this cardinal T-square, or grand square at times, based out of the Uranus-Pluto square. But right, and the nodes, which are traveling through Aries and Libra. So we've had the Uranus-Pluto square, T-squares, and grand squares at various times in the cardinal signs. The cardinal signs are initiators. And so those have to do with new beginnings and transitions and changes. So right now we have... the nodes are down into the lower degrees, but Uranus and Pluto are still square, even though it's not exact, or they're a few degrees apart now. But then we have the Sun and Mars in Cancer, which are forming the T-square with Uranus and Pluto. So a T-square has a lot of energy. It's about change, cardinal signs, initiators. This can be kind of a destructive energy, but it gives us energy to rebuild and rebalance things as we would like. Yeah, there's so much stuff going on right now. We also, Saturn is square to Venus and Jupiter in Leo. Saturn and Scorpio square to Venus and Jupiter. So again, we're seeing changes in, can be financial changes. It can be relationship changes, changes in our groups of friends. Jupiter, big picture. It could be a restructuring of how we see that things work together. How our big picture fits, how things feed into our reality, how we how our world works. Saturn is Saturn is kind of the glasses we see things through. It is how the structure of our reality is set up. Saturn is also physical structures. It can be the house we live in, the building we go to for work. But it's how we structure our reality. I've actually started paying attention to this the last couple years, and I really see a lot of people that almost, and this goes for myself as well, a lot of people kind of exhibit their Saturn sign, I'm seeing about an equal level with their Sun sign. This isn't everyone, but a lot of people, like, and I see it very much for myself, that where my Saturn really operates about on the same level, and I put out as much of my Saturn sign as I do my Sun sign. With Saturn square to Venus and Jupiter, this could be changing how we get money, what's important to us. Jupiter is the big picture, our philosophy. Venus is how we take care and nurture ourselves, what's important to us, our values, second house stuff. So with Saturn square to those two, you know, Jupiter expansion also, Saturn is the auditor. So restructuring how we take care of ourselves and how our life is set up and how we support ourselves financially. This can all be a part where we physically live. This can all play into that. So a lot of stuff going on. I do want to talk real, and I'll let you go after this. We do have a really big energy day on the 15th. Actually, we'll count Tuesday and Wednesday. Like I said, we have Mars opposite Pluto on the 15th early in the morning, and then on the 15th in the evening, we have a new moon in Cancer. So the Mars-Pluto opposition, it's at 14 degrees of Cancer and Capricorn. Mars at 14 Cancer, Pluto at 14 Capricorn. So again, Pluto is the power structures. Mars is can be anger and aggression. Anything that you feel has power over you, especially if you have anything in the middle degrees of any of the cardinal signs, this is going to become very apparent to you where you're being forced to do things you don't like or where you feel you do not have power and you will feel that you need to deal with that energy or that power. So just be aware of that as we get into the first part of next week. Tonight we have Mudtoe Sasquatch at midnight, and then we will be back next week with all of our regular shows. The Monday night Holistic Forum at 6 p.m., Lunchtime Wisdom at noon on Tuesday, and we'll go from there. Our guest next week, Matthew Curry, one of our astrologer friends out of New York, will be making a return visit. And just remember, we're all creating this new reality together. So just remember, everyone's working on their own stuff right now. Clear your energy. And
Mark, time to return to the ship.
Well, I guess it's time for me to return to the mothership. So, everyone, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening, and we will be back next week.